Today's sermon is not going to be normal. It's going to be different. I've only ever done this one time before, and that was about an hour ago. So we will see how this goes. Please show mercy on me, and please be gracious. The reason why I'm doing a little bit different is because we are going to be covering one of those beloved passages that sort of resonates with humanity, and we've heard it explained a lot. And usually I take a passage and I explain it. That's what I do. I like doing that. It's fun for me. Hopefully fun for you all, or torture. But hope you return at least. So that's good, many of you. So what I'm going to do for this passage, though, because we're covering the Beatitudes, we're going to pretend to invite someone who might have heard it for the first time ever and been there when the Beatitudes were shared that very first time. So I am going to become that person. For just a moment, please. Use your imaginations with me, and I'm going to step back. When I step forward, I am not Adam, at least for the next however long it takes. My name is Lazarus. I'm not that Lazarus. I'm not that Lazarus. Lazarus, we unfortunately are blessed with having a very common name. From my understanding, though, I don't think it's very common for you all to have the name Lazarus very often, but it's pretty normal for people in my society. Lazarus is kind of like, I think you've got the phrase average Joe. We've got average Lazarus. That's who we are. The thing is, though, my name is very, very fitting for me because I'm just very average. I am just an average Jew in my village. I am not one of the religious leaders. I am not one of the politicians. I am not one of the rulers. I'm definitely not one of the Gentiles. I am just one of the average Jews. I don't own any land. I'm not the manager for a land. I'm a day worker. That's what most of us are in our village. We've got those various things that I just described, but then those managers will come to either the city center or the city gates, and we'll be kind of standing there looking like we're good at doing things, and we hope they pick us, and then we go and work for a day, get our day's wages, buy our daily bread, go home and repeat. Unless the next day's Sabbath. That's the way it works for us, is every day we work, get our daily bread, repeat. It's very average for us. We are the normal people. But I am here not to tell you about how average my life is, but here to tell you about a day that my life changed because of a man named Jesus. I'm sure you've heard of him. I think people will be hearing about his name for quite some time. First, let me share with you why, though, my life needed changing. See, and it's interesting because my life didn't change so much as my view on the life changed. See, I was poor, I met Jesus, and now I'm still poor. I've been brokenhearted, I met Jesus, and I'm still brokenhearted. I would never describe myself as a meek and mild person, but I have to be meek if I want to survive. I'm not one of the power players in society. I keep my head down and just live life day by day by day. And so I'm meek, met Jesus, I'm still meek. I try to show mercy to others. I hunger for righteousness often, but I realize that that hunger is going to be just a stomach growling kind of hunger. I long for the days, for example, when the Romans are overthrown and God's people finally get to rise up and rule our land like we're supposed to. I get the fact, though, that that might be a growling stomach pain for a while. And you only show mercy to those who are pure in heart, but those are few and far between. I met Jesus, though, and my outlook on those various things changed. See, but I'm not abnormal. Everyone I know is poor. We get our day's wages, and that's the most that's ever in our hands. We don't have these things called bank accounts. The bankers are for rich people. We get the daily wages, and that's it. We also know heartbreak, too. I understand you all have these places called hospitals. We don't have those. I understand it's where you go to get better. We don't. And it comes with being poor, too. We don't have enough food. And so things like fever can kill your friends and family, especially young ones like your own children, like my children in the past, just getting a strong fever. My daughter is 3 years old. I know what it is to mourn. I know heartbreak. I know what it's like to be poor. I know these various things. I know what it's like to hunger for righteousness and not ever get to experience that taste of righteousness. That's my society, though. I really am average. That's everyone. We all are pretty much losers in this life. We don't have a place in the Roman kingdom. We're not citizens. We don't have a place in this world. We're just living day by day, keeping our heads down, trying to make it to the next day. I think, though, that although your society might have some nice advancements, I understand you have something called technology which makes your life better. I think I've heard that humans don't change very much. And so you probably all have hurt and probably all have hungered, probably all have experienced mourning or pain, and you know what those sorts of things are like too. I'm sure many of you hunger and thirst for goodness and righteousness, but then how often did two people agree on what is good? And so instead of agreeing on what's good and making it happen, you fight over what's good, and the fights turn to arguments and turn to skirmishes and turn to battles and turn to wars or just complete stalemates and shutdowns. Have I described your society at all in any way? I think that's normal for humans, which is why it's important for me to get to talking about this Jesus person that we heard of. See, I and some friends actually brought the news that there is this man going around in this place called Galilee. It's north of us. And in Galilee, there's this guy going around named Jesus attracting large crowds. And my first thought was neat. Good for him. Because it's Galilee, nothing good comes from there. It's the land of darkness. There's so many Gentiles in that area, it's not even funny. So who really cares that much? But then a friend of mine, not me, I don't read the prophecies very much. I don't like them. They're weird and hard to interpret. You've got like stars falling from heaven and dragons, angels fighting things. That's beyond me. But this friend put two and two together because this guy attracting crowds in Galilee is also performing miracles. At least they say. And so in Galilee, there's this prophecy in our prophet Isaiah about the land of Naphtali, the land of Zebulun, that a light would shine on that area. And the light would be the everlasting Father, Hosanna, Prince of Peace. And so one of my friends put the two and two together and said, this guy's the Messiah, and he took off. It had been several days, and I still didn't hear back from my friend. And curiosity started to get the best of me because I kept hearing more stories about these miracles. That people who could never walk before, getting up and walk, people who could never see before, being able to see people possessed by demons, being free of them. And finally, curiosity got the best of me. I had to figure out how the trickster does his tricks. I mean, that's a fun mental puzzle, right? Figuring out how someone pulls one over on others. And so I wanted to go see and experience this for myself. Because, number one, the day-by-day job lines are not always a given. So maybe I just aren't going to make it to the top of the line this time. So I'm going to go find this Jesus fellow. I went to the last place I heard that he was in. He wasn't there, but it was pretty easy to find him because of the crowds, and they make tracks. And so we just followed the tracks for a while. I go, and I start to hear a crowd. And so as I get closer, I start to realize every few minutes near the center of the crowd, people are shouting with shouts of excitement. People on the edges of the crowd are telling me that's because miracles are happening. And they, some of them had witnessed them, some of them had miracles performed on them, and said they're going to keep following him. Me, I just wanted to go see one done and discount it. You know, I still haven't gotten to see one. Still haven't gotten to see a miracle, even though I've met Jesus. I get towards the beginning or the middle of the crowd as I'm walking through the crowd trying to find my way through. I finally can see Jesus in eyeshot, and you know what? He leaves. So we just practiced our stalkerish behavior and kept following him. As Jesus went, we went with him. He starts to climb a mountainside. He's walking up this mountain path, and we are still following after him. He gets to the top of a mountain, and we're still following after him. He gathers what I learned later were his disciples, and he pulls them aside, but we're still following after him. We came a long way for this. I came a long way for this. I want to see what's going on. But then Jesus sat down. Now, based off how you're all sitting and I'm the one standing, your society is different. But the way my society works is that the person who has a crowd around them who sits down, they're the teacher. The teacher sits down. And so Jesus has now put on a different hat. He's the teacher, and guess what that means for me who's come out to see a miracle? It means miracle time's over. And so, okay, Jesus is going to start teaching. I didn't come all this way to be lectured. I'm going to be tired enough tomorrow morning. I'm already poor as it is, and I didn't get today's wages. I'm going to get an earful when I get home. I just need to make it and see if I can get any sleep tonight. And as I start to leave, I'm walking away, and I hear Jesus use one word that does catch my ear, though, and he says the word poor. And for some reason, I stop and decide I'm going to listen to the whole thing. This is what Jesus says. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It didn't take long for me to realize Jesus was talking to me. Now, I'm not that arrogant. I know Jesus wasn't talking to me, Lazarus, but he was talking to average Lazarus. He was talking to everyone in the crowd about this. People who are poor, people who are hungry, poor in spirit also and hungry for righteousness, also people who are forced to be meek, people who hesitate to show mercy because we know that's just going to come back to bite us, people who just want to keep the peace, and know we probably should be peacemakers, but sometimes that's hard to do. And I realized that Jesus was talking to all of us saying that you may not feel like you have a place in this world, but you have a place in the next. And while you may not seem like you're blessed here, you actually are blessed. You may not feel like you're winning. You actually are winning because you are called a son of God, not just a son of Abraham. That's just because my dad's 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 was Abraham. I can be called a son of God. That's what this Jesus fellow was talking in. For a second, you got to stop and think and go, okay, Jesus is living an opposite world. It's opposite day for him. That's nice. But you could hear the conviction and the authority in his voice, and you started to believe it as you listened to him, that we're the ones living an opposite world. And he's the one who has everything right. And we really are blessed when it doesn't feel like we're blessed in this world. Jesus says that we have the kingdom of heaven. He says it is theirs, those who are the people who experience these things, those who are poor in spirit, those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. He said, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That means you got to stop and think and say, okay, if this Jesus fellow is right and I'm convicted and suddenly, as he was speaking, realized I think he is, I can show mercy in this life. I can use what little power I have in this world, which is nothing, to help others make peace and to show righteousness and to help satisfy that longing for goodness. Because if I lose in this world, I'm an owner of the kingdom of God's. There's nothing that can take that away or hurt. So I don't need to hesitate on that because I may not have a kingdom here, but Jesus has announced that I have a kingdom there. And I think that's a lot more meaningful. And so that day, even though Jesus didn't give me a bag of money, I didn't even get to see or experience a healing or a miracle or anything like that. I'm still broken. I still hunger for righteousness. I never would have been up in front of people sharing what Jesus told or what anything good. I just keep my head down kind of person. But I've learned that my life has value and your life has value because Jesus told us that God cares about those who feel like they're losing. And Jesus says we are the ones who get to win. And Jesus went on and shared many other things that day. I'm not going to go and share with you those stories. Maybe if I ever come back and do, I might. But thank you for listening to my story. All right, I'm Adam again. Fooled you, didn't I? I'm going to read one more time out of the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The Beatitudes are the preamble to the Sermon on the Mount, in very similar ways that we have a preamble to the Constitution that establishes this is what this new nation is going to be like. Jesus is establishing this is what this kingdom of heaven is actually like. And it's not just a kingdom for the winners and those who feel like they already have power. It's not just for those born into money or those in government or those who win all the time. It's for those who feel like they don't win all the time. And those who know what it's like to be heartbroken, those who know what it's like to mourn, those who know what it's like to hunger and not be satisfied. The kingdom is for those people. That's what Jesus is declaring in the Sermon on the Mount. And because that's true, there's an application point. And it's not just, hey, have hope. Jesus goes on the very next verses. He said, blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So to close and encourage us to hold on to the faith, even if it feels like sometimes we're on a losing team, this is the reminder that Jesus gives to people who are poor, people who are mourn, people who are meek, people who are hungry, and the merciful and the pure and the makers of peace and even the persecuted, that they will be blessed. He says, you have a place in the kingdom of heaven. In fact, those of you who feel like you're losing, you are the salt of the earth. That's what salt does, right? Makes things taste better. It brings out the flavor that's there. So bring out the flavor in life for others who may not realize their life has a taste. Shine a light into the kingdom of this world because the kingdom of heaven is yours. So who cares what loss you may experience on the kingdom of earth? I mean, there are hurtful losses, but the kingdom of heaven is yours. And so in spite of anything that may come back at you, follow after God and share the good news of his kingdom with others. Please pray with me. Father, we thank you that Jesus Christ came to this earth to share with us this good news that you are the king of a world that is quite upside down from ours. And although it sometimes feels like opposite day when those who mourn are told that they're comforted, when those who are poor in spirit are told they own a kingdom, when those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, even on this evil world, are told that they can be filled. And so God, help us to realize the truth of your kingdom, that it is there just beyond the veil. And following after you, we can realize the truth of this upside down world, that it is not the one that is upside down, that your world is the one that is real. Help us to acknowledge those realities and go out and fearlessly share the gospel and share the truth of these realities to those who may be hurting, those who may feel lost, those who might be poor in spirit, those who might mourn. Help us to be the salt and light in their lives. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. If you'd like to come forward and talk to me about following a God who does reverse roles in life, where he says the first will be last will be first. If you want to be a member and citizen of the kingdom of God, feel free to come forward and stand and talk with me as we stand and sing. Let's stand.